Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Tonight, my guest is Clyde, and he is with the Pittsburgh band Right Turn Clyde.
Hello.
Hello, Clyde.
It's Clyde. How you doing?
This is Mac. I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
How's the weather there in Pittsburgh?
Chilly. It's kind of cold here. So it's
It was 80
like Friday, and then over the weekend just became very cold.
Yeah, same here. I live in Ohio.
Okay, gotcha. Where in Ohio?
Yeah. I live in Elyria, Ohio.
Elyria. Where's that near?
Well, it depends on what cities that you know, because if you know where Lorain is, it's close to that.
I know, like, Youngstown, Austintown, Toledo, Columbus,
Cleveland.
Is it closer to Cleveland? We go to Cleveland all the time. Yeah, we like Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not, like, close to Cleveland or anything, probably 40, 50 miles, but that would probably be the closest one to us of the ones that you mentioned, because we're basically on the lake just like Cleveland is.
Oh, gotcha.
But,
very cool.
Yeah. So we had little wet snowballs that were falling out of the sky today.
Oh, wow.
Did you get that?
Wow. We got something. I didn't know. I was in the office looking out the window, and it looked like sleet, but I wasn't sure. So.
Well, I was just introducing you before I called you, and the internet has been acting funny because of the weather, I guess, because I've been having a lot of trouble, and I don't want to take up time talking about that. But so you have a band that's called Right Turn Clyde, and of course,
Right
that's
Turn
part
Clyde.
Of the name.
Right.
And now I want to get into that later about, you know, how you came up with the name and everything. But first, I thought we'd just start, like, near the beginning, because you're based in Pittsburgh, and I assume that you grew up in Pittsburgh. So
No. It's a long story.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, well,
no,
actually,
I didn't grow up in Pittsburgh.
Just tell that story.
But been here, like, 14 years, I guess, so.
Oh, wow.
So.
Go ahead and tell us that story.
I will. Are you, like, now? Are we live?
Yes, no. We're live.
Wow. Okay. Hello, everybody.
I'm sorry. I thought you knew that.
No, I did not know we were live, which is fine. That's totally cool. So, you know, hello, everybody. Very nice. I'm Clyde with the band Right Turn Clyde here in Pittsburgh. How can I say it? We're a fairly popular band, which is cool. We've been doing it now for 8 years, going on nine. Right Turn Clyde started, believe it or not, I mean, it's a long story, but I have always been, like, into guitar and playing music. My father was a musician, and years and years and years ago, he was insistent on trying to get me to play, and I hated playing the guitar. And so I put it away for a long time. And then one thing led to another. I picked up the guitar and started to play it here and there, and then I'd put it down, and I'm like, nah, I don't want to deal with this. And then put it back up again, try it again, and then put it back down. And then one of my friends said, look, if you're going to do this, you need to do it the right way, and get an instructor. Go to get somebody to teach you how to play, and somebody that's young and that's, you know, it's got a lot of energy and kind of teach you what you need to do. I said, sure. So tagged up at the local music store here in the Mount Lebanon area of Pittsburgh. People are familiar with that area. But they tagged me up with a guy who was really good. And And so what happened is I started to learn to play the guitar the right way. And as life would have it, I ended up leaving the Pittsburgh area and getting a job in Nevada, in Reno, Nevada, and was working at this hotel casino. And I was the GM at that time. And I was on call 24/7, believe it or not. And so when I wasn't working, I was upstairs in my room playing the guitar. So I played and played and played and played and played and played. And so one thing led to another. I continued to play and ended up coming – one thing led to another. Ended up coming back to Pittsburgh and had my guitar with me. And so what happened is I ended up tagging up with a church. I said, you know, I want to see if I can do what I can do for a church. And so tagged up with a local church, got into their worship team, and started playing, and it was great. It really was good. To be quite honest, that's where I learned the discipline of being a part of a band, because in you know, when you work for, you know, when you're doing music for a church, you literally get 6 songs a week, you get 1 day of practice, and the rest is up to you. And you know, here I was in a situation where, you know, I knew nothing about the contemporary Christian music, so I was like listening to the local Christian channel, the K-Love and all that, and trying to figure out how to do this and learn the song. And well, anyway, 2 years into it, I thought I was doing very well. And so we were cool and everything was great, and they had a change of a pastor. And they changed the whole scene. They didn't want to do contemporary, and they wanted to do more traditional. So we it was kind of disbanded. And I kind of go, well, I wonder if I could, audition for a band, you know, take my guitar skills and audition. Well, one thing led to another, and I ended up auditioning for an 80s cover band in the Pittsburgh area. I don't even think they're around anymore. And what happened is I auditioned and failed miserably, like horrible. Like, I thought I was great at church, but when it got into a band situation, it was horrible. So, you know, I kind of took my tail between the legs and moved on. And so what happened, I went back and started rehearsing. I started practicing more and more and more and more. I said, I can do this. I know I can do this, you know. And so I ended up auditioning again for a country band here in the Pittsburgh area, and I got it as a rhythm guitarist and backup vocalist. It's called the Mo Nelson Band, very popular, kind of a red dirt country kind of thing. And I wasn't into country music, but it was a gig. And so played with those guys for about a year, and then they disbanded. The leader wanted to go off to Florida and do some boating and things like that. And so I was kind of left out going, wow, what do I do now? And so I go, well, what if I team up with somebody and create this duo and see if we can do happy hours and stuff like that, an acoustic duo. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so I ended up meeting this guy, Dwayne, I can't think of his last name. And so what happened is that we put together a show, and it was kind of fun. And but it was called Dwayne and Clyde. And we couldn't book that darn thing anywhere in town, like nowhere. And then one day my partner comes up, Dwayne Lewis, that's his name. Dwayne comes up to me and goes, hey, I was talking to a friend of mine at work. And he said, you should change the band's name. I'm like, okay, like what? And he goes, call it Right Turn Clyde. I go, Right Turn Clyde? That's from a movie. And he goes, yes, that's the point. I go, huh. And so if you remember the old Clint Eastwood movie, Any Which Way But Loose, there was,
right,
there's the joke that goes throughout the entire movie was the orangutan, Clyde. And in the line with Clint Eastwood when he was to hit or do something, he'd go right turn, Clyde, and smack somebody, you know, like that. And that's the joke of it. And I go, and he goes, that would be perfect. And he goes, The whole thing about it is that you're Clyde. I go, oh my, okay, let's do it. And so right, that's how Right Turn Clyde was created a little over 8 years ago as a duo. And the rest of it is just history of how we got people's attention and we were different. And I have to be honest, the name is different. So it got people's attention because they were like, oh yeah, you know, they Right Turn Clyde, I get it, you know. And so as the duo kept going, we suddenly became a bit more popular, and that was very cool. And then at the end of that year, it was a year's time, my original partner wanted to move on and do other things. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so what happened is I re-auditioned, found somebody else to come in, and then we grew. We were popular. I said, well, you know, what we should do is add a bass player. And so we found an upright bass player. And so now we had two acoustics and an upright bass player. And we started to get people's attention because it was different. In those days, there really wasn't any bands in town that did that. And so then what we ended up doing is we became an acoustic rock trio, which we added pedals, we changed the sounds of the guitars. We really, you know, bent what we did. And we found music that was very popular, more of that modern rock, classic rock mix. And again, there's a million bands that do it now in the Pittsburgh area. But back in those days, it was all kind of that acoustic happy hour stuff. So we got lots of attention, and because it was different and, I hate to put it this way, affordable, you know, because people would come and enjoy themselves, and we were rowdy and had a great time. And we ended up getting a beer sponsorship. You know, we went from maybe 30 shows a year to like 50 to like 80. And at the top of our game, we did the biggest year we ever did was 130 shows. And we were rolling. And so what happened, I'd say maybe 2 years ago, I decided, I was very hesitant. But the problem was we owned that niche, but tons of bands started to copy it. Like tons of bands. It wasn't like we weren't the only game in town all of a sudden. There would be dozens of acoustic rock trios doing the same thing. And I'm like, well, we got to shift gears because now the field is too crowded. You know, they're all doing the same thing. And so we decided at that point, there was three of us, we decided to become a full band. And that's a huge trick. It's different. It's a whole different way of looking at music when you go from acoustic rock to a full band, which means, you know, adding a drummer, learning to play with the drummer, because that was new. That was new for us. The secret behind the band that we had is the upright bass drove the rhythm, and the guitars were, you know, on top of it. And that's kind of what the sound was. Well, when you add a drummer or percussion, now you're following the beat of the rhythm, the drummer, the whatever that percussion is. So it's different. And so we had to go through a whole learning curve. You know, we added a female vocalist. The thing about what we always did is that we have tremendous harmonies. We had a three-part harmony. It rocked. Well, now you've got four harmonies that can sing. You have four people that can sing, which is great. And they're all pretty good. And so we became a full band. And it took months to kind of get that together, to the point where we go, okay, we got a cool show. And then we came out last year, at the beginning of the year, rolling out this whole new show as a band. And I have to be quite honest, and I'm as, you know, I tell everybody about this, a huge honest about this is that we made all kind of mistakes. You know, we came out swinging hard, and I went from acoustic rock to heavy rock. I mean, we were doing classic rock and everything from Ozzy to, you know, on and Zeppelin to this, that, the other. And what happened is that in the Pittsburgh market, it turned people off. Like, it was too harsh because we were playing a lot of breweries. We had some wineries and things like that. And they didn't quite want to hear that. You know, they like lively and fun music. But when you go too far, it turned them off. And so what happened is that, I take full blame, is that we started to lose rooms. We started to lose fan base. You know, our Facebook numbers started to tumble, and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, what's going on? And so it took all of us to bring it back. And what we started to realize, and this is about mid-year last year, that people want to dance and drink and have a blast. But the problem is that we're not a dance band. We're not. However, what we started to realize is that we could do danceable rock music. And so we changed the entire show midstream. Mid-year, we started, you know, sprinkle this in, sprinkle that in. And towards the end of last year, we started winning it back. People were going, oh, my God, here we go. And so people started to enjoy the show again. And this year, when we started this year, we kind of renamed and retooled the band, the Right Turn Collide Experience, because that's exactly what it is now. We put on a really fun show, lots of energy, lots of action going on, and the crowds are coming back, and they're liking it, and we see our numbers pop back. And you know, we really appreciate people that have stuck with us, because we see people that have been following us for years that come out and see the new show. We appreciate all the new people that are coming to see the show, and we appreciate, you know, the rooms that are hiring us to do our show. And so it's been a long journey, but it's been a fun one, and that's kind of where we're at right now. So and to answer your question in a very long answer, that's where Right Turn Collide started.
Well, actually, the long answer is fine. It's an hour show, so you've got plenty of time. If we get short on time, I'll make sure to, you know, let you know. But, yeah, we've got plenty
okay.
of time.
Okay. Fantastic.
If you wanted to add anything else, you've got plenty of time to do that.
No, I think that's kind of where we're at. I mean, that's what started, you know, Right Turn Collide, and that's kind of where it goes. And so we've, you know, diversified, and, you know, we just opened up our first we finally negotiated and have our first rehearsal studio that opens up this Saturday, so we're super excited. We've been rehearsing in different places, so that's going on. We have our own podcast, believe it or not. It's called Right Turn Collide After Dark, and it's an 8-part series, you know, 45 minutes in length. But what we've been doing is interviewing people that have very interesting stories, you know, in what I defined it as, in people that are successful in their own right, people that have made it, lost it, and have pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, and have been successful in their own definition. And so we've had a great time of interviewing just a huge cross-section of people. And the bottom line is, the neat thing is that all these people have a connection to music. And that's the neat thing about it. I mean, we've had therapists, we've had attorneys, we've had national acts, comic hypnotists, things like that. You know, we've had tons of people. And like I said, it's only an 8-part series. I might expand it to one more, but it's been a really fun time. It just kind of adds to the brand of Right Turn Collide, you know. So we've had some fun with that as well.
I actually have that on my outline. I make an outline of different points that I want to, like, drive people to. And that was one of them, so you mentioned it yourself, so that's covered.
Oh, great. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, you can hear it. I mean, you can hear the I think it's 7 different episodes that are in there. But if you go to rightturnclyde.com and go down to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link right there. You hit it, and you can listen to all 7 episodes that are out there.
Yeah, cool. I was looking at that just not that long ago, earlier today, and I was checking it out.
Oh, great!
Well, because you were gonna be on the show, so I needed to check it out. So
fantastic!
It's a really cool site. I mean, you have a thing with upcoming shows and about your music and photos, and there's a link on there to contact, just so people know that a bio.
Right.
Or bios, actually, and
yeah, we talk about the band members, and right, we have videos, some, you know, some clips here and there, or something from live. We had some produced ones. In fact, yeah, there's a clip that we did at a local bar called the Bridge Music Bar, and we did something kind of funky. We did a Nirvana song with a sitar player. And we were just experimenting on how it sounded. If you go to the clip and you look at different videos there, you can see that clip. It was an amazing, cool thing. We're currently planning on working on a new album, an actual EP. And so in doing so, we've been experimenting with different sounds. One of the things that I really don't want to do is music that sounds like everybody else. And, you know, God bless them. There's a lot of great talent in the Pittsburgh area. And I can't say one's better than the other, but what I'm trying to do is create a completely different groove altogether. So we've been experimenting with different rock sounds with, we've teamed up with the sitar player. Now, the sitar player, first of all, they're hard to find. Number two, this guy is like one of the best in the region. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to experiment with some different sounds. We wanted to get into the studio by May, but we may have to push that back to probably June or July and get that together. We're still kind of in the writing process, and we're still rehearsing on this new show. But more likely it will be June, July, but the cool part of it is that we're experimenting with different sounds. So yeah, it's going to have a cool groovy rock sound, but it's going to be different. And so we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm not saying we're the Beatles, but, I just want to be able to deliver something that's different. I mean, it's going to be fun. We're going to have some rock with it. I mean, some really cool rock tunes, but there's kind of this neat sitar groove that kind of interlocks in all the things we'll be doing. So anyway, if you go online, you know, the RightTurnClyde.com, and you can see the videos, you'll see one of those where he's sitting down, and it's actually pretty cool. I'm really impressed with it, and it came out really nice.
I didn't watch that particular one. I only had like a short amount of time, so, but I did get to watch some of the stuff, though. It's pretty cool stuff on there.
Great. Fantastic.
Since you had already mentioned them, why don't you go ahead and give, well, we still got actually plenty of time. We've got over 30 minutes yet. So give relatively short bios on the other band members.
Well, you know, the band itself is really cool. You've got our bass player, Jesse, who's a multi-talented guy. Jesse Lowry is a classically trained vocalist and a phenomenal bass player and guitar player, so he can do both. And he has an operatic type range, but he does it into a rock groove. You know, he does a lot of different type of vocals for different things other than us, and he has his own little solo career going on. He has an EP out and things like that, and we were very fortunate for him to come along. He's been with the band now well over 2 years, I'd say probably almost three now. And met him. He was with another band that was a polka band, a rock polka band, and very unique. We were doing a large fundraiser for the American Cancer Society, and had a number of different bands there. And this particular band was there, and I was, you know, I was kind of like, all right, so this is kind of unique, but let's see how this goes. And the crowd, you know, looked at it and was kind of like, well, that's different, but they were enjoying it. Yeah, they were doing rock covers like a polka band. So it was different. And what happened is there was one particular song where Jesse comes out, and it's a Ukrainian pop song, And he nails it. He's doing it in, you know, in the Ukrainian tongue, I guess, whatever the language. And everybody froze because you heard this operatic type sound coming out of this guy. And you're like, wow, he's got some pipes. Well, anyway, time passes, and, you know, I had another bass player, and he eventually moved on, and we held auditions, and he reached out and said, man, I would love to audition for this band. And so we were at a winery. He auditioned, and that, I mean, following that show, I go, it's yours. You want it, it's yours. And he's been with us since, like I said, about 3 years now. And so Jesse Lowry rocks, so super happy with that. Our guitar player, Tom, he came to us through a series of different jazz bands. It's interesting. The guy is a flamethrower of a guitar player, okay? And he auditioned for us, too. We had a guitar player that was cool, and he went on to do some solo work. And so we held auditions. He showed up. And nailed it. Probably I would say one of the best guitar players in the city of Pittsburgh. And which is funny because when I saw him prior, his videos and things like that, it was all jazz music. You know, so for him to turn on, to nail the main riffs out of Stranglehold, you know, Ted Nugent, and then, you know, to do what he does, you're like, wow. I mean, you're just blown away. And I remember the first time he played with us, we were still a trio then. We had converted from acoustic to rock, or to electric, and we were still a trio. And what happened is we were at this winery, and then I remember my fiance was sitting at the table, and Tom just starts ripping it. And we looked at each other, and I'm on stage. I looked at my bass player, and I go, oh, my God. And it took the entire level of what we were doing to another level. And he brings a tremendous energy to the band. Tom Boyce is his name. And just an amazing musician. So it's an honor to have him with us as well. He's been now with the band a little over 2 years, so that's kind of cool. The new one, in particular, is drummers. Evan is our first drummer. We've got two drummers now, but Evan Ellis is our first drummer at the band, and just a super younger, high energy kind of guy. And, we had to, again, the learning curve, becoming a full band, is how to play with the drummer, you know, where you follow that lead. And it was a giant learning curve for me, you know. I'm like, wow. And so you're constantly listening to the drummer. I've heard a thousand million jokes about, you know, how a drummer, you know, is the heartbeat of the band, and so is the bass player. Yeah. To be quite honest, once you start learning that, you're right. They are. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a drummer in the beginning, and so the bass player was the driver of the rhythm. That was the whole theory behind Right Turn Clyde when it was a trio, an acoustic rock trio. And so I was very, very hesitant to add a drummer because of that particular situation. But once we did, you know, Evan came along, and it's just been a tremendously cool experience. So he's neat, and he's played with other bands around town, too. And he's been with us, I'd say, about a year now. And then I have another drummer named Gary that's coming along, just brand new and just started temporarily. And the idea is that we're going to switch off drummers because Evan really wants to kind of experience life. You know, the thing about our band is that we're super busy. And that's, knock on wood, very fortunate. We'll do 80 to 90 shows a year. Okay. Mm. And so like in the summer, we're just humping and doing our thing. And I tried really hard this year to slow it down because it just gets to a point where, you know, you get tired. it gets rough. Yeah. And when you do it year after year after year after year, you just want to start enjoying life a little bit, as in holidays and things like that. And so I tried to keep it to 60 shows this year, but it looks like more likely we'll do 75. And then the newest addition to our band is our female lead, Tina. And the cool part is that she's my fiance. And she, what's amazing about her is that she's a cantor in a Catholic church. So she is classically trained as well. However, what's wild is that you can see her on Sundays sing at church with this beautiful angelic sound. But on a rock and roll night, she's nailing it. You know, she's doing a Pat Benatar. She's doing, you know, this, that, the other. And so she's able to shift gears. And I've always said, well, how do you do that? And it's a difference from a head voice to, you know, another type of voice and how it's shifted and how she does it. But she's an amazing vocalist. Like I said, she's classically trained, and it's so neat to have her, the person that's most important in your life right next to you every show, which is kind of neat. But the cool part is to see her do what she does. And so that's kind of where it's at. That's kind of the band. And then it's just me. You know, I'm the guy behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz of Right Turn Clyde. You know, we work really hard. All of us have our own little superpowers, and I work hard to kind of keep the band rolling, and we work together. One of the things that I do and always have from the beginning is work on our sound. You know, we definitely have a groove about what we do. And most bands get that. You have a brand, a sound. So when people see your show, it's different. You know, you got to make yourself different in a very competitive market. What we learned becoming a band, a full band, is that there's a lot of bands out there, you know, good bands. And so, you know, we went from like, hey, we're the best at what we do, to we're now in a new arena, and there's a lot of bands that have been doing it 10 years, 12 years, and they're pretty doggone good. So in order for us to, you know, we went through our learning curve and to be able to do what we do, we really work hard at it. We rehearse every Saturday, you know, for 2 hours, and constantly drive to deliver a good sound, a good product. I mean, that's kind of what it is. You know, out your way, you've got a gajillion good bands. I mean, good golly. Oh, yeah. Cleveland rocks. We played Cleveland years ago, and I've never had an experience like that where no matter what you played, people ate it up. They just ate it up. In the thing about the Cleveland market is that you got to be good because there's a million fantastic bands out there. And so, you know, we went out there doing what we did, and we were pretty doggone good. We are back then, especially then. And the crowd loved it, and we loved Cleveland. I'd love to come back to the Cleveland market one day. It's just a fun town when it comes to entertainment. They just look at music differently. I mean, Pittsburgh is great. It is. But there's something about the Cleveland market that I noticed, you know, a couple of times, that they really love music out there. They really do. Live music is their thing. And so it's been great. I like it a lot. So, but anyway, that's kind of the band. You know, like I said, there's five of us now. It's a whole, you know, a lot further than we were as acoustic rock trio, but it's a pretty good band. I'm very proud of them. They work really hard. They all have their, like I joke about, their own superpowers. But they're when it all comes together, it's great. I mean, you know, Tom on guitar, Jesse on bass, vocals. You know, Tom sings too, and then you got Tina who rocks it. And, you know, I've been working really hard with one of the better vocal coaches in town, and I've been able to sing or contribute even more to what's going on. And then we got the, you know, Evan on drums. So it's just been a really cool experience. I'm very proud of who they are. You know, it's an honor to do shows with them, You know, I think they're great people, and they're good people, and that's the neat thing. You know, anybody that knows anything about a band knows that you're a family, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when you do so many shows together and do so many things together, you just have that relationship that works really well. And that's kind of where they're at now. Right Turn Clyde is just very tight, very close. And we're like a family, you know, we see each other every week, we rehearse every week, you know, we care about each other and just kind of stick there and make it happen. So.
That's a, that's real good storytelling there. You're good.
Because
sometimes I get guests that I kind of have to maneuver them to, you know, to talk. And sometimes it's the live thing that, you know, it bothers some people. But like I told the one person, I said, once you start talking, you'll forget that it's live and you'll just keep talking.
And right.
Yeah, there
right.
are people. Yeah, exactly. And there are people that listen to the live shows. And but I do have a recorded version. And a lot of people listen to those. And one guest that I had, he had never done any kind of a show like that at all, you know, like any kind of podcast
right.
or anything. And he was on my show, and he was real happy, of course. I shouldn't say of course, but he was real happy, and he was telling me, now, this doesn't happen with everyone, so I'm not making any promises. But he said that all
right.
of his views and listens to his material doubled overnight after being on my show.
Wow. Wow, that's
and
fantastic.
So he was like,
wow.
Yeah, and he was so nervous about it. And that's
oh, really?
One reason why he was like, oh, wow, because he was so nervous because he thought he was going to mess
right.
up or something. And I said, well, that's the beauty of live. If you mess up, so what? And even though it's on the recording, the great thing about anything live is that you can tell that it's real because it's live.
Yeah, true. Very much so.
Yeah. And just getting back to Cleveland for a minute, because not being from here, you might not know this, but a lot of people know. But you know how, like, in Pittsburgh, you have what you call Pittsburgh, but it's not really Pittsburgh. It's, you know, a bunch of different boroughs, like in New York.
Right.
And,
right.
We don't have boroughs here. We don't call them that anyway. But basically, almost everything is considered Cleveland.
Sure.
So there's what we call Greater Cleveland, which actually includes us, even though we're nowhere near Cleveland.
You said 50 miles away, right?
Yeah, almost the whole of northeastern Ohio is called the Greater Cleveland area. And then you have Cleveland Proper, of course.
Right.
But
we go to Cleveland all the time for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they put in the new inductees. So we always make it up there in November and love the town. You know, love the area. It's very cool. People are great up there. Yeah.
Well, we in the greater Cleveland area, we do love our music. And
yes.
We don't get, I shouldn't say we, but most of us don't get like set in, we've only got to listen to this kind of music. We like
right.
wide variety. And that's why most bands like coming here. Because you can go to
right.
a place that usually plays 80s music, and you can play stuff from the 40s or play jazz or play hard rock. And nobody's going to complain. They're gonna appreciate it, and they're gonna clap for you and tell you how good you were. And we love our music. We do. just a short
that's
little
cool.
thing. I don't want to take up. I don't want to take up too much of your.
No,
show.
No. But I do like the area. I agree with you. I think the area is fantastic. I mean, I love the Pittsburgh area. I mean, that's what we do. But we, like you're saying, here in Pittsburgh, you have outer areas. I'll give you an example. We have areas that, you know, we travel a lot, a good 45 minutes to an hour sometimes to different shows. Because Pittsburgh, unfortunately, what you're seeing in Pittsburgh are less and less rooms that you can play. You know, COVID did a horrible thing in its day and wiped out a good number of rooms. But what we've come across is there's different areas around Pittsburgh that are thriving, in a, you know, like the Butler Beaver area. Elwood City has turned out to be a tremendous plus for us. That's for like 45 minutes from the Pittsburgh area. And there's a couple of rooms that are just fantastic out there. You know, we've traveled to Uniontown, which is another 45 minutes the other way, heading towards the mountains. You know, that's a great little market for us. It's people really enjoy music in different ways. Pittsburgh itself is a fantastic area. And then you do have little splinter areas, the South Hills, the North Hills, you know, of the different areas of the of Pittsburgh. And they all have great places as well. But Pittsburgh as a whole, the center, like the city itself, there's less and less rooms to play. And that's the sad part about it. You know, we were there, you know, when COVID hit, we were still doing the acoustic rock trio thing. And, you know, there was a period of time where, you know, you just couldn't play. And it was a drag. We hated it because you couldn't do it. You know, it just the city wouldn't allow it. You couldn't do it. The crowds weren't, you know, they had all kind of rules where you sat outside, you just had the other. But when things started to break down, you know, when things started to pass and people started to be allowed to come back, bar owners were all hurting at that point. And so what we did purposely is work out deals to make it work for people. And a lot of those rooms appreciated that. So we did our best to entertain folks as a trio, because they couldn't afford bands anymore. There was a period of time where they just, you know, the owners are like, you know, we just can't afford a band. We don't have the, you know, they were hit hard. It was a rough time. It was a real rough time. And we were able to get busy. I think we ended up doing like 60 shows right after COVID started to leave and people going up, where we became very popular. It was sad, though. There were a lot of people that we knew that were still sitting on the sidelines because they couldn't play. There was a lot of rooms that could not afford a full band anymore. Unfortunately, we still see situations where a lot of rooms still can't afford full bands anymore. You know, we take a small haircut to keep the band busy, because a lot of bands can't afford. Back in the day, a lot of bands made decent money. But when COVID hit and eventually left, it changed the whole scene.
There's a couple of bands. For just a minute, I'm not trying to argue with you or anything, and don't take me wrong, but I did want to squeeze this in. COVID didn't actually leave; it just tapered off.
I agree. It's still here. I totally agree. It's not gone, and I agree 100%. It's just that when it hit...
Sorry, I wasn't trying to argue.
No, you're no argument. No, I totally agree with you. It's not gone. I mean, just what? Springsteen and his wife came down with COVID yesterday, a day before yesterday. So even the biggest stars get it, you know. Yeah, so he's postponing some of his shows because he's sick now. You know, it happens. You're right. It hasn't gone away. But there was a period of time where we were in such a lockdown that you couldn't do anything. Right. And so as the lockdown loosened up and a lot of these rooms wanted to do entertainment again, they were very limited on the money they had. They knew they needed a band, but they couldn't afford the full band. And that's where we filled that void at that point in time. Now things are open up and bands are everywhere. But the money hasn't quite come back to the day where it used to be. So And that's just signs of the economy. That's the signs of everything, you know, as we deal with inflation. This is when we deal with, you know, entertainment as a whole, you know. You know, people still want it, but it's still kind of it's a very tricky business. You know, the live entertainment is expensive for a venue. I mean, not only do you pay your ASCAP fees, BMI fees, this, taxes, on and on and on, entertainment taxes. In the long run, it becomes very expensive for a venue.
Yeah.
But a venue needs entertainment sometimes to drive business in. So it's a very tricky thing right now. So we work with rooms, you know, where we can get full rate, we will. Where if you have some rooms that are having a little kind of a rough time, you work with them because it develops the relationship, you know, knowing that, you know, I'll take a little buck, couple of bucks off to make sure that, you know, you can have a fun room. And then I always say, hey, you know, if down the road, if things turn around where it should be, then, you know, we'll go back to where we're at. And it seems for us, it works all the time, you know, but it's working with the venue, you know, working with the room. So they can do what they got to do, you know, and a lot of these owners appreciate it. They do.
Yeah. One of my friends that I've known him for over 40 years, and he's a one-man band now. I mean, I can't even name an instrument that he can't play.
Wow.
He may not play it to begin with, but, like, you can just hand him something, and within a few minutes, he's playing it. He's, you know, that good and that musically inclined. And you may even have heard of him because he plays in several other states. His name is Tom Todd, and he's got a one-man band.
I don't think so. I have seen, I don't know the person's name, but I have seen when somebody, they're at certain rooms, and it's called blah, 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 the one-man band. And I've seen that before, so I don't know if it's the same guy. But there is a gentleman that plays around here periodically named the one-man band. So.
Yeah, he even says the amazing one-man band. That's what he calls it.
I'll have to look it up.
He used to be in a band. But then they disbanded, and now he does his one-man show. And but sometimes he has other people singing with him and doing things. But he does so many things, and that's why people go to see him. So I was understanding when you were talking about, well, you got to have something that's different than everybody else.
Right.
So that's his thing, that he can do all this stuff, and there aren't too many people that can do what he does. Because he'll be playing his mouth harp and at the same time playing a guitar or a violin or, you know, some other instrument all at the same time. Yeah. So, yeah, he's great. He doesn't do any hard rock, but he has no problems at all getting gigs because people love him. Because he's friendly and he goes out and he talks to the people in the audience, and so people.
That's cool. There's a band in the area that plays out in the Westmoreland County area, that's east of Pittsburgh. And they're called String Theory, and you mentioned the violin. One plays like a guitar. They're fantastic. They're really neat guys. And if you watch their show or catch their show, they're tremendously entertaining. And they'll switch out different wood instruments. So you'll see a guitar, or you'll see a banjo, you'll see a bass, you'll see the violin, you'll see the, and they switch it back and forth. And it's a very unique sound, because there's vocals involved with it as well. But they're an amazingly cool band. I really enjoy watching them.
Oh, I love all different kinds of stuff. You know, stuff like that. I love stuff like what you guys are doing. I like all different kinds of music. Now, there are some that I don't like as well as others. Like, I don't care that much for country music, but that doesn't mean that it's all bad. I like some of it.
You know,
I have to agree with you.
I have to agree with you on the country. I'm not a fan of that, but people out this way like it. There's this one particular band that literally, I want to say, came out of nowhere, but they've been around for maybe a year or two. It's called Buck Wild. They played out that way a few weeks ago, somewhere out in the Cleveland area. And I will call it the greater Cleveland area. But these guys packed the house. And I've watched them very closely to figure out what's going on. And they're, first of all, they're just one extremely rowdy band. But they get the crowd rolling. And they not only do the wilder country music, but they throw in rock and roll as well. I mean, you hear them do a Zeppelin song and this, that, the other. But it's interesting to watch them do what they do. They throw down I think they do 2 90-minute sets. And it's not like they schlub around. They're super highly energetic, and they're fantastic. So if you ever get a chance to catch them out that way, it's called Buck Wild. So they're cool. But I have to agree with you. I'm not a giant country fan either, but, you know, people like it. You know, people enjoy it, so.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it's like with anything else. There may be certain types of music that people... I'd like to say as a general rule, but that doesn't mean that I don't like any of it, because some country that I like, and I have gone and seen country bands and thoroughly enjoyed myself because they didn't, and I know that fans of it are probably not going to like me for saying this, but they do more than just "my wife done me wrong, twang, twang."
Yeah, I think that kind of music's gone, I think, you know, other than maybe Taylor Swift. But, you know, and she's always complaining about her boyfriends or whatever. But I think country as a whole, country music, because I used to work for a country station years ago, it's changed. It's more pop. It's not your dad's or grandfather's country music. It's different. You do have those traditional lists that are out there, but the whole scene has kind of changed. It's become more of a rock sound, more of a pop rock in some cases. So I don't, you know, country music as a whole has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, most types of music have changed. We're getting down to like 7 minutes.
Sure.
Since you're, you know, in the music business and you love music. And I don't know how you feel about, you know, hip-hop, that type of music. And I like it. I'm not saying I like every single one that I hear. But if you listen to the words and the music, it can be very enjoyable. Well, there's this band called 40 Watt Height. And you may or may not have heard of them, but they played, they did this song at the beginning of a Eddie Murphy movie. Oh, right now I can't think of the name of it. They were on Mars. Oh, Pluto Nash on Mars. That's the name of it. The Adventures of Pluto Nash on Mars. Now, if you go on YouTube and you put in theme song of Adventures of Pluto Nash on Mars, you can listen to it. And what it is, is it's a combination of, because it's Blue Moon, and if you know the song Blue Moon, it's a combination of the old-time 40s, 50s way of singing Blue Moon, actually maybe before the 40s, more like maybe the 30s, how singing Blue Moon, and then mixed in with hip-hop. And to be perfectly honest, and I love the Blue Moon. I love all different versions that I've heard of it. But I have to say that is the best version of it I have ever heard. So if you get a chance, listen to that.
I will. It sounds interesting. I'm into different types of music. I am. It's just, you know, music across the board, it's cool to have a wide variety of interest. I know some people would agree with me, some people would not. But I think if you have an open ear to the art form itself is an art form. And so people are creating different types of music with different sounds. I get that. Some people like them, some people do not. But what I try to do is really do have an open ear. Cause it takes a lot to do what they do, you know? You're right. And I have to agree. I'm not a hip hop fan, but it's an art form. You know, there's people out there working really, really hard to perfect that. You know, and you have all these different artists. And if you go all the way back to, you know, when hip-hop was doing its thing, you know, back in the late 70s into the 80s into the 90s, in the whole history of all these stars that came across and did what they do, it's a true art form. So country had its thing, you know, has its thing, and rock has had its thing, and pop music is definitely... what can I say? Pop music is going through some challenges right now because it's, you know, now you've got people that can do music sitting in your bedroom off a computer. You know, you're not playing an instrument. You know, but again, it's its own art form. And people like it. I have to admit, I'm just not a giant fan of pop music right now. I do like pop music, but I'm just not going for what's happening, and that's fine. I mean, it's still a thriving business. It's funny when you watch an award show and you have no clue who any of those people are anymore. You know, you know, watch the Grammys, you go, who are these people? I don't even know what these people are, you know. But that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. You know, there's a lot of talent everywhere, and it's just kind of fun to watch it, you know. Like I said, in my little micro world, it's, you know, it's fun to watch the bands in the Pittsburgh area. There's so many really good ones. And they all have their own groove in what they do. You know, we have our groove and what we do. In fact, we just added a horn, a trumpet to some of the stuff we do.
Cool.
So it's kind of a neat sound as we continue to grow in into different directions. But it's fun to watch other bands do what they do, you know. And there's not a time on a Saturday night when I get home after a gig, I get on Facebook and try to watch everything I can, you know, because there's tons of people that put stuff on Facebook. And I love watching different bands do what they do, you know. So, you know, it's really cool to be involved and be a part of the scene. And, you know, we're very much involved in what we do, and we're super excited about it.
Oh, cool. And I don't mean to interrupt, although I actually didn't interrupt. I just wanted to make sure I said something before you started on something else. Because we're down to under 2 minutes, so it actually was good timing that you were about done. But if there's anything else you want to say in the last minute and 30 seconds, have at it.
First of all, thank you for having me. I had never heard of your station before, your radio show before, but I do appreciate it. You know, I wish more people took the time to talk to different artists, and there's a few that do. But I do appreciate you allowing me the format to kind of fill the airwaves of opinion and thought and history behind what Right Turn Clyde is. Right Turn Clyde. Hopefully, you know, people do look at rightturnclyde.com and see what we're all about and reach out to us. You can catch us on Facebook, you know, Right Turn Clyde Experience or Right Turn Clyde, and message us and say hi, what's going on, and, you know, and be a part of the fun. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, or again, check out that site and see where we're playing. Come out and see a show. It'd be great to meet you guys. And thank you so much for your format to allow me to spend some time with you tonight.
Oh, well, you know, you're welcome. And thank you for being on the show. So we've got about 30 seconds, and I just want to reiterate to anybody listening that this has been Clive with the Pittsburgh band, Right Turn Clive. Go out to see them April 21st. They will be, that's this coming Friday, they're going to be at the Drunken Hippie. So head on out there.
No. That didn't happen. We're going to be, the 22nd, we're going to be at the Schoolhouse Tavern in Claridge, PA, which is a really fun time, really fun place.
Oh, okay. I was going by what was on the website. Sorry.
Oh, my mistake. Sorry. I'll fix it.
That's okay. We've actually gone off the air, I believe, but that's okay. Just in case we're still on the air, I want to say thank you and have a nice night.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.